Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Nice racing day again today, as it has been really for most of the weekends throughout the year. You're on this Derby trail and you get three-year-old preps during the year, and now those are over. We're headed into the Derby, but there will be a little Derby conversation this morning. But down at Oak Lawn, the Apple Blossom, small but very select field, fun slate of stakes down there. Keeneland continues, and should be a really fun afternoon of racing. And again, we're going to kind of preview some of that and beyond today. Nancy Holthus, the paddock commentator from Oak Lawn, will join us. We'll get a little update on the Oak Lawn meet so far and some of her thoughts on today's stakes action. A little bit later on, Brad Cox is going to jump in. He has stakes runners today. We also updated his three Derby runners. If you hadn't seen, you can check Twitter, Cyberknife work today, and the workout reports from folks on track were big thumbs up for Cyberknife. We talk about that one, Zozos and Tawny Port, Derby contenders with Brad and more. So really nice, fun edition of Racing Across America. And again, we got both of these folks yesterday. So I will tee it up after the break. We'll head to a quick break. When we come back, Nancy Holthus. A little bit later on, Brad Cox. Stay tuned. Racing Across America will continue.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
The first Saturday in May, that's when it happens. The Kentucky Derby. It's the longest running sporting event in America, and the 148th Run for the Roses is set for Saturday, May 7th. Play with us at Capital OTB, and you too can be in the winner's circle.
I got it. I got it. Hey! I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got a move that tells me what to do. If you don't, brothers and sisters, then you won't know what it's all about.
Big day coming up Saturday down at Oak Lawn, the Apple Blossom, a couple other nice stakes as well. So who better to reach out to than our friend Nancy Holthus from Oak Lawn. You see her the pregame, the paddock show. I said to Nancy before we went on the air, normally I would have checked in on Arkansas Derby weekend, but we were on the road down at the Florida Derby. But happy to get a little visit in from Nancy to update us on the meet so far and obviously talk about Saturday afternoon as well. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning. Well, you know, I think since this year you went to Gulfstream, I'm thinking next year you should come to Oak Lawn because now we've got the hotel that you can stay in.
I am passing that up the chain because Oak Lawn is one of my favorite spots. And I have seen tweets from people. I think it was Maggie Wolfendale. I went to her visits.
Yes.
Had the room overlooking the track, and thumbs up. I'm all for that. So, we'll put that on the agenda for next year. No question about it. I love, as I say, Oak Lawn's one of my favorite tracks to bet during the year. I love the wagering down there, but it was also one of my favorite places to visit because it's very Saratoga-ish. The whole town seems to get into it. And let's talk a little bit about that because I haven't talked to you in a while this season. So update us on what the season's been like. And as I said, I went down to Gulfstream a couple of weeks ago, our first trip in a couple of years. Obviously, with the pandemic, everything was different. But it seems like most of the venues are getting back. And looking at the simulcast signal at Oak Lawn, you look at that apron on most days, and it seems like folks are back and happy to be back at Oak Lawn.
Oh, everybody is happy to be back at Oaklawn. Oaklawn has always been a destination, whether you are a local, live in the state, or surrounding states. This has always been a spot where, whether you're a novice or a diehard race fan, this is always a major, major spot during the race meet that fans want to attend. They come from all around, especially now that we do have the hotel, multiple restaurants, and it is just a place that diehard race fans, whether you've been here before, they make it part of their racing bucket list because there's always events going on. You know, last weekend we had the first annual Hall of Fame weekend. It was beyond amazing, Seth. I don't know. We were so fortunate to have the attendees that we did. It was so special, and it was. We're going to make it an annual thing. So excited to announce that. But, you know, our three-year-old season was phenomenal. You know, we always like to say the road through Louisville goes through Hot Springs. And, you know, it was a great story this year also with Secret Oath, you know, with Wayne Lucas. And, I mean, that story just writes itself. We were cheering so hard for her in the Arkansas Derby. But, nonetheless, she ran a great race against the boys. But, you know, it was just a lot of really good stories came out of this meet, and we're not even over.
Yeah, and that's the fun part about it. It's been expanded on the front end this year, on the back end a season or two ago, and so there's more Oaklawn now to enjoy. And as I say, I do enjoy it. And I was going to bring up that Hall of Fame day because as I was watching here, you know, when I sit here and do the afternoon handicapping show, I got about five other tracks going on the monitors, and I would look up, and in between races, you'd have a couple of Hall of Famers out there, and I saw Ramon, and at one point there was a little video of Nick Zito signing some autographs, and I had to get the feeling that luckily enough, with Saratoga being right across the street from the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame, on induction day, we always annually will have one of those Hall of Fame days with Hall of Famers coming back for the induction ceremony and whatnot. A lot of fun for us, but we're right across the street from the track. So for a venue like you to do it, it seemed like it was a lot of fun, as they say, with a couple of Hall of Famers out in the winner's circle and getting introductions before races all day long. I'm guessing the fans really had to love that.
It was an absolute treat. Oaklawn went above and beyond creating these beautiful posters for the autograph session. So all you had to do was show up. Oaklawn presented you the trophy, or I'm sorry, the posters. We gave the Hall of Famers the Sharpies. It was an hour and a half that these guys sat, met with the fans, signed these collectible posters. So, I mean, it was just an amazing day because, you know, because we are so far from the Hall of Fame, and, you know, these are jockeys and trainers that the fans don't really have accessibility to because they didn't compete on the circuit on a regular basis. It was so great for them to meet their favorites. So, you know, a lot of them out of the saddle now, such as Lafitte Pinkai, Chris McCarron. So it was great that they got to meet their favorites of all time. It was a really, really spectacular day.
Yeah, during the afternoon, I saw Chris McCarron interview, and it was funny. He said, yeah, there was a season where I was kind of riding down here, and I would drive into the track, and I remember every day I drove past a sign that said Hot Springs,
yes,
population, whatever it was, 33,222. And he said, and then I'd go to the track, there'd be 50,000 people there. There were more people,
yes,
at the track than lived in the town.
And, that trend still continues.
I could totally relate because watching on the simulcast and the visit I made, as I say, it's very Saratoga-esque, the town and the fans and whatnot. Update us a little bit as well. I know every weekend you do a nice interview, the Dawn at Oaklawn program, and I was pulling up some of the interviews you did this year, and love to know what your reaction was personally and from folks who watched Wayne Lucas. That had to be fun when you get one of the venerable veterans of the turf like that. But you also talked to Ron Maquette on Whitmore Day. Update us on how the Dawn at Oaklawn television season went.
You know what? It has gone spectacular. That program is absolutely near and dear to my heart, and it gives the fans a personal look at these trainers and jockeys that I do get to spend some time with in the mornings, and I'm excited to have Steve Asmussen tomorrow morning.
Ah, nice.
You know, so get a chance to talk about the elusive Kentucky Derby that kind of has seemed to evade him 23 times. But, you know, he's also got a shot in the Kentucky Oaks this year with Echo Zulu. So it will be very well attended because finally we look to have a good, gorgeous morning tomorrow. So I expect a very, very good attendance. We had great attendance, obviously, with Wayne Lucas. He's always a great, great draw for the fans. I always compare him to like E.F. Hutton. I cling on every single word that comes out of that man's mouth. But we're, you know, very honored to have the just wonderful group of horsemen that we do have. So those can be found on Oaklawn's YouTube channel. So the greats are on there. Some of my proudest ones are from Jack Van Berg. So those are always just fun to go back and reminisce.
Yeah, I was actually looking at the YouTube page and I saw, it was 2 or 3 years ago, I guess, but you talked to Marshall Graham. And I'm curious, is Marshall there very often? Because he's over in Memphis teaching college, so he's kind of a, you know, hop, skip, and a jump away from Hot Springs. And I know he likes Oaklawn. I know he attends occasionally. But I wonder how often you see him there. And I wonder your experience. Typically, we'll interview him every year up at Saratoga. He is a really interesting interview because he brings that college professor kind of intellect to the racing game. And he's an owner, and he's a handicapper, and he's just fun to listen to.
Yeah, he actually comes out on the bigger days, more so on Fridays and Saturdays, depending on his class schedule, of course. But yeah, he is a presence here at the racetrack, and I remember vividly when we had the when I did have him, he was teaching a class on wagering, and you know his students were given you know, a bankroll and how to manage that bankroll. So it was really interesting on how he set that up.
I wish I had a professor like that when I was in school. It would have been best class ever, would have been my comment.
Yeah, right.
And before we get to racing, I just have one more general Oaklawn question, because whenever I get an Oaklawn person, I have to ask: start of the meet, middle of the meet, end of the meet. Is the claim box still on fire down at Oaklawn?
Oh, my gosh. It has been on fire the entire meet. I think they're maybe up to 12 million.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I don't know any other track that rivals that number. I really, truly don't. And we've had, I think, 29-way shakes, 35-way shakes. I mean, it's not unusual. And multiple horses in almost every claim race. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, it.
But we have the best claims clerk in the country. I will definitely vouch for that.
Yeah, it is insane down there. I remember I was talking to Rick Hammerly, at one point about the claims, and it was I was talking to him in the morning. I had him on the show one morning a couple of seasons ago, and we were talking about it. And later that afternoon, he texted me a picture from the racing office where there was a claim, and it was elbow room in the racing office. There were so many people in there. It is just
It's standing room only. And I know back, you know, a while ago, they used to each put in, you know, a buck or whatever monetary dollar monetary, and you know, whoever won the horse got the pool and the kitty. So you know, makes it a little more fun.
A little extra incentive. Exactly.
Oh,
and I'll touch on one more thing that has been notable at Oaklawn this year. I have been around the game long enough that I look at the purses on some of these maiden races or allowance races. The purses down at Oaklawn have just been insane this year. It's been a lot of fun.
That they have indeed, and that is in part to the building next door, the casino.
Yeah.
But yeah, our horsemen run for an exorbitant amount of money. And, you know, just this past Saturday, we had a $150,000 allowance race. And, I mean, it's absolutely insane. And that's why we get the repeat horsemen coming back that we do. And the fact that our Arkansas breds, the allowance, the maidens run for the same amount as open company. And that's why we're seeing our state bred program get better and better. And it will continue to get better. We're getting those better stallions that are coming to stand in Arkansas. So that's a testament to our purse structure.
Yeah, and I've been watching the Arkansas bred races. When I handicap Oakland during the afternoon show, I say, man, these are always skull busters and they're tough. But I've been thinking the same thing as I've been watching over the past few seasons. You can see them improving, and you can go down the past performances and seeing them being viable against open company. It reminds me of when I first got into the game in the New York bred program, which has improved so much now. And I think the Arkansas bred program right along the same lines. All right, let's jump into some of the racing. I did want to pull up, because I requested a replay, and they have it in the control room, of the stretch run of the Arkansas Derby. And you've touched on it a moment ago already, but I just love your thoughts. It will be Cyberknife number 8 winning, Barber Road the number 3 running second. Secret Oath, who I think a lot of folks were rooting for, Secret Oath the filly, runs third in here, the number 6. What were your impressions a couple of weeks back, Arkansas Derby?
Well, you know, it was such an amazing day, a phenomenal field. And it's interesting in regards to Cyberknife, you know, Brad Cox said, you know, this horse is a complete handful, and he anticipated this horse completely turning around and running a phenomenal race. Obviously, you know, ran a really good allowance coming out of that LeCompte. I didn't anticipate this horse running that good in the Arkansas Derby, but definitely had everybody fooled. You know, I personally was cheering for Secret Oath. That was just going to be a Cinderella story for everybody. It was a great story nonetheless for not only Dwayne Lucas, Oaklawn, but I think it was a good story in general for racing, and that is exactly what racing needs at this point with all that's going on. But, you know, Cyberknife, extremely impressive. Brad Cox going to be busy on the first Saturday in May.
Yeah, it's Cyberknife owned by Al Gold, so a nice story there too. Al Gold, you know, a New York based owner for many years, and fun to see him get what I think was his first Grade One in the Arkansas Derby. So Cyberknife going to be fun to watch. And Secret Oath, no matter what happened at the Arkansas Derby, she was going to be a fun horse to follow because of Dwayne Lucas going into the Oaks Derby weekend. That continues. There's going to be some fun storylines going into the weekend, and some of those coming out of, as you say, that three-year-old season down at Oaklawn, which has been so productive over the last 5-10 years. But also productive, some of the other stakes races on the Oaklawn calendar, including the Apple Blossom, and that comes back on Saturday. So let's jump in and talk a little stakes action for Saturday and kick it off with the Apple Blossom, which is a small 5-horse field, but a select field. It's quality versus quantity, and there is quality in here as the champ comes back, Latruska. I pulled up the Apple Blossom from last year to take a look at. Latruska's the number 3 horse here, running second. Monomoy Girl running third. Swiss Skydiver. So a select field last year as well. Latruska got it done. She comes out of kind of the quote-unquote prep in the Royal Delta down at Gulfstream. A nice win to kick off the season. But she's going to face Cece coming out of the win in the Azari. Clary Air is a filly I've liked right along in the career for Steve Asmussen. This is really a fun race. What are your thoughts on the Apple Blossom?
Well, it's interesting that two in this race are looking for their second Apple Blossom win. Last year's Apple Blossom was one for the history books. Just remembering Latruska and Monomoy Girl coming down the stretch, and it was a battle for the ages. It literally brought back Songbird and Beholder battling down to the wire, and Latruska nosing out Monomoy Girl, and it was almost like Monomoy Girl passing over the torch to Latruska. And Irad Ortiz did a phenomenal job, and I remember like it was yesterday when she walked into the winner's circle, and Irad told Fausto Gutierrez, he said, "I went to the left-handed whip, and she just completely responded." And that's when she kind of went into that overdrive and really, really dug down and just nipped her by a nose to get the victory. So she does look like the true speed of speed in the field and looks like the one to catch. So it's going to be interesting. I'm drawing a line through that Breeders' Cup Distaff. It's almost like, you know, the first bad race horses run is in the Kentucky Derby. They have to run a bad race because they haven't run one yet. So I think that's the case in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. She obviously rebounded so nicely in the Royal Delta at Gulfstream. I think she's going to come in. She loves Oaklawn Park. She's in the money all four. She's won 6 of 7 at the mile and a 16th, the Apple Blossom Distance. She loves this surface, but you know what? So does Cece. She's a horse for course. She's 2 for 2, and she did remarkably well when stretching back out to 2 turns last go in the Azari. So it's going to be an interesting turn, but I think the one to catch is going to be Latruska.
Yeah, it's, as I say, small but select field, and with Latruska, Cece, and Clairiere in there, another fun addition of the Apple Blossom. A little later in the day, the three-year-old square off for potentially a spot in the Preakness. They do that in the Oaklawn, $150,000 up for grabs, 9 furlongs the trip. And this is a little bit of a puzzle. I'm going to pull up a replay here. An allowance optional claimer at Oaklawn on April 1st. Number 6, Rugs will be the winner, but number 2, Stellar Tap, runs second. Prior to that, had run up the track in the Rebel. But I think the Steve Asmussen runner on Saturday is going to be a little bit interesting. Now, that said, Happy Boy Rocket, I liked the horse last time in the optional claimer here at Oaklawn. Came over for Bill Mott, Frank Fletcher racing base down in that area, so they like to run their horses at Oaklawn, so tried the optional claimer. But more notably, it was only last week, and this is not a Bill Mott move. So Happy Boy Rocket is interesting to me, and Homebrew for Brad Cox, also intriguing. What are your thoughts on the Oaklawn?
Well, it's interesting, and you're absolutely right. That's not a typical Belmont move. Back on April 16th, it was over the mud, and that was the $150,000 allowance that he brought this horse in. Frank Fletcher, a very prominent Little Rock businessman, and this horse, it was a nightmare of a day for Happy Boy Rocket. He broke through the gate prior to the race. The assistant starters did a phenomenal effort. And then he left the field, or the field actually left him, I should say. He had so much ground to make up after they sprung the gate, but he was able to make up ground, and he split the field. He ran third as the favorite. So he's going to get blinkers this time out. That's a 30% winning move for the Mott Barn. He gets Martin Garcia, and like you said, not typical, but I'm guessing that the fact that they're whipping this horse back in, it's, again, $150,000. This one has black type to it. The other one was simply an allowance race. It's going to be an interesting go, but as you mentioned, Steve Asmussen actually has 2 in here, Stellar Tap. It's an interesting move for this one, coming off a runner-up effort against a other than group, and there's interesting several horses in here still eligible for the A other than condition, as he went back on Lasix last go after not being able to run on it in the Grade 2 Rebel, a runner-up finish to a very nice horse in Rugs. He hit a little traffic in the second turn, was the favorite. He could very much like the added distance. He certainly bred for it, being by Tappet, but it's going to be an interesting go. Several horses, or one just to the outside, Kushar from the barn of Rudy Brissett, is just coming off his maiden score, puts blinkers on, and as you can see, typically not an equipment change allowed off of a win, but if you look at the past performance line, he was lugging in kind of all over the place down the lane, just getting up for that victory. So they do allow that equipment change. So kind of an interesting all-over group for the Oaklawn.
Yeah, and as you say, a lot of them eligible for conditions and whatnot. So there's no real superstars in here, but they're horses that are kind of on the cusp of moving to the next level. It's a fun race. The 11th on Saturday is the Oaklawn. And speaking of fun races, a nice field of handicap horses. And I think this handicap division this year is really shaping up to be a lot of fun. We have Rated R Superstar coming out of the Essex. Nice win that day for Federico Villafranco. Plainsman was a close-up second in the Essex on that afternoon for Brad Cox. Prior to that, had won the Razorback. I'm going to pull up, however, a replay. Gulfstream Park, the Ghost Zapper. It's going to be number four, Fearless, for Todd Pletcher. And I think he's shaping up to be a player on that handicap division this year in a big way off of this race. We'll find out more about him on Saturday afternoon. What are your thoughts on the Oaklawn handicap?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Rated R Superstar. He is an old war horse, 9 years old, earning just shy of $1.6 million. He makes his third appearance in the Oaklawn Handicap. But it's interesting that Pletcher sends in Fearless, draws that outside post. He was runner-up in last year's running of the Oaklawn Handicap, sat off some pretty decent fractions, beaten just half a length to Silver State. But he's coming off a very nice six-length win at the Oaklawn Handicap distance of a mile and an eighth. Now, he has run twice at Oaklawn Park, and he's been runner-up both efforts. He's shown that he is tactical. He does come, ships in very, very nicely. Pletcher does not ship to Oaklawn Park unless he is going to go home with a big fat check. But it is going to be an interesting race. Thomas Shelby, I certainly anticipate setting the early fractions. He is a true speed horse. Could have Plainsman sitting just off his heels. Plainsman likes to be, if not on the pace, but I think against Graded Stakes Company, he likes to press the pace, and I do think that is how the pace is going to be set up, and I think Fearless is going to be right off them. And Fearless likes to sit off that pace and make that winning move when he hits the top of the stretch.
Yeah, I, as I say, it seems like he's coming into this race in really good form for a Pletcher. And you're right, Pletcher doesn't ship over to Oaklawn unless they're well-meant. So fun edition of the Oaklawn Handicap. The Oaklawn a little bit earlier, and, of course, the Apple Blossom as well on Saturday. It is shaping up to be another big Saturday down at Oaklawn Park. And, Nancy, as always, we appreciate the visit. We will be tuned in. Always appreciate listening to you and Vic on the pregame show and your comments in the paddock as well. And, again, really appreciate the whole Oaklawn season. I love the Oaklawn wagering, and I think there's a lot of value to be had there. And, yes, I'm going to pass it up the chain of command. Hopefully maybe next year we'll come down for a live visit. I like that idea. I'm going with that.
I hope so. We will go for drinks. I hope so.
All right. It sounds great. Nancy, again, appreciate the visit. Good luck to you and everybody on Saturday afternoon.
Thanks so much, Seth.
Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
He joined now by trainer Brad Cox. He has some runners at Oaklawn and in stakes not only at Oaklawn but over at Keeneland as well. Get a little update on some of his Derby contenders a couple of weeks out also. Brad, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, happy to have you on always. I pulled up your Twitter feed earlier and I saw a picture. It is interview day. You were getting interviewed outside the barn, and obviously it's that time of year with the Derby around the corner and, again, some nice stakes action coming up on Saturday. Just before we get to that, I'm curious how the winter season went for you. And I know watching, doing the handicapping show in the afternoon, I see you down at the fairgrounds and at Oaklawn at certain times during the winter. What is home base during the winter? I'm guessing fairgrounds. And talk a little bit about, I always think people don't realize a trainer and how much that job is a small business. And when a meet like the fairgrounds winds up, what goes into transferring that barn up to the next track, which I'm assuming was probably Churchill?
Yeah, no, there's a lot that goes into it. I spend most of my time in New Orleans. Has a lot to do with the climate, trying to keep the horses in, a warmer climate, or maybe a little bit more consistent weather. But we do travel back and forth between the fairgrounds and Oakland throughout the winter. And then once the winter, into March, fairgrounds closes, we do ship most of the horses up to Kentucky. That's obviously Keeneland, Churchill, or go on to Indiana as well. And then there'll be a couple horses that may go on to Oakland as well that, they continue to race through the month of October and through the month of April and the first week of May. And, if there's horses that there may be a race it makes sense there, we would transfer them from the fairgrounds up to Oaklawn. But, it's definitely a business, and, you have to try to obviously get the horses ready to run first, and then you got to put them where they can compete, and that's really the name of the game.
Yeah, I always find it interesting to talk with trainers a little bit about the business side, because normally we're talking the racing side, which more people are, bettors are a little more interested in, but I always like to shed a little light on it. Really is a small business, and employees and payroll and whatnot, a lot goes into it. So I tip my cap to you guys with the work that goes into it in the early mornings and whatnot. Always appreciate the time you take to visit as well. Let's jump in and talk a little racing up at Oaklawn on Saturday afternoon. And in the Oaklawn Stakes, $150,000 up for grabs, 9 furlongs, and potentially a spot in the Preakness as well. And you have Homebrew. I'm going to pull up a race from December 4th down at Oaklawn early in the meet. Allowance optional claimer. Homebrew's going to be the number 5 horse and win. Subsequently ran 10th in the Smarty Jones. That was on a sloppy sealed track. So off of this, I'm sure you had, off of this win we're watching in December, I'm sure you had some higher hopes. What was your takeaway, though, subsequently from the Smarty Jones, and did the off-track play into it, and how's Homebrew been training since, and how's he come into the Oaklawn on Saturday afternoon?
No, he's doing well. We had a race or two picked out for him, say, a month ago. We backed off him a little bit. He's not a big, robust horse. We backed off him a little bit after the Smarty Jones were preparing some races in March. They didn't go, and we kind of found ourselves with nowhere to run, so we kind of zeroed in on this race a few weeks back, and he's done well. I think that he shouldn't mind the distance. He's running off I wouldn't say really a layoff. He's pretty much been in training, just like I said, been tough to find a spot that makes a lot of sense for him, but he's like I said, training well enough, and hopefully he gets a good trip, he can be a factor.
And you say we'll be trying 9 furlongs for the first time. The concerns there?
No, not really. I mean, he's streaked since out of a tap at Mayer. I think, most of that suggests he can get the mile in an eighth. We'll see how it goes.
A little bit later on, the Oaklawn Handicap, grade 2 event, $1 million up for grabs. Again, 9 furlongs. And you have Plainsman in here. Guys in the control room can go back-to-back here, because I pulled up the two earlier races at the Oaklawn meet for Plainsman. First, we'll look back on February 12th at the Razorback. Plainsman's going to be the number 8 horse and get it done here as the winner. The follow-up is going to be the Essex on March 19th. Rated Our Superstar, the 6, will be the winner. Number 4, Plainsman, runs second. Just talk about this horse in general a little bit before Saturday. A 7-year-old with over $1 million in the bank. And really, at age 7, these two races we're looking at in the current Oaklawn season shows he's going as well as he ever has. Talk a little bit, again, just overall about Plainsman having a nice venerable runner in the barn like this, a millionaire, and what you expect on Saturday from Plainsman.
Well, yeah, he looks like he's going to be part of the pace. Seems to do his best running when he's close, and Joel fits him very well. He's had a lot of luck on this horse. He's won, I think, all three of his graded stakes he's been aborting. He won the two there you probably see on paper, and then he won the Discovery at Aqueduct as a three-year-old, so which was well over 3 years ago. But he fits the horse well. I think he's set up for a big run. He likes Oak Lawn. But his last race, he may have been running against a bias a little bit. It didn't seem like really back when they run the Essex, really speed was really holding up. I mean, they did go a little quick, but it seemed like the closers and horses that you get out in the middle of the track were doing just a little bit better throughout that weekend. But, you know, excited about giving him an opportunity in a $1 million race. He's a you know, very durable horse that's been around a while, that's definitely not slowed down with age. If anything, he's gotten better.
Yeah, as I say, it looks like the last couple of races, the end of the six-year-old, the beginning of the – or both in the seven-year-old season, it seems like he is in very good form. And the workout, just about a week ago on the 17th, the minute and four, looks like a pretty good work to come into the race with.
Yeah, solid workhorse, always has been. And like I said, you know, solid workhorse, solid horse in the afternoon as well.
Let's move on to the Ben Ali at Keeneland on Saturday. You have one in there as well. Again, a mile and an eighth for the handicap division. And Warrant is in there. And we're going to go back and look at his last start. Went out to Southern California to try the big cap, Santa Anita Handicap Express Train. The six is going to be the winner. Warrant, the number three, is going to be, boy, a very close-up second in here. Had to be a little bit frustrating, but this was a good effort. Your takeaway from the Santa Anita Handicap and what you expect from Warrant on Saturday?
Well, it'll be his third run race off the layoff. He's doing really, really well. I expect him to run big. You know, solid group of horses. But this race made a lot of sense for him. Our goal is to get him back out to California to take another swing at a grade one maybe later this spring or summer. And thought this made the most sense, and timing-wise, it works out well. So, you know, I think he'll run big. I really like him. He's honest. I don't think he's ever been off the board in nine starts or how many starts he's had. But he, you know, once again, very consistent horse, honest, and seems to be getting better with age.
Looking down as a handicapper, the buyer jumps off the page. It was the triple-digit 104 buyer. Are you a numbers guy, and did you take away something from that performance and the nice triple-digit buyer?
Yeah, no, it's positive. I do think horses mile and eighth, maybe mile and a quarter, their numbers are a little bit higher, definitely, and obviously at a higher level. But, you know, overall, it was a good effort. And, you know, it was a lot to ask of him to ship out to California from the fairgrounds, say, 3-4 days before the race. And, you know, he showed me a lot just in shipping back how well and how quick he recovered out of that race in California. And we've kind of zeroed in on this race ever since and thought it may make sense in regards to trying to fill a gap between the Santa Anita Handicap and the Santa Anita Gold Cup at the end of May. So, you know, once again, we got to get through the Ben Ali before we turn our attention toward that. But we thought spacing worked out really well with these races in mind.
Very good. And I wanted to touch on one other at Keeneland. Let me just turn my page here on Saturday, because I always like to get a little thought on the first-time starters. And in the sixth at Keeneland, you have a maiden special first-time starter, Casa de Goat. And I'm just curious, you may not know the answer, but I'm wondering if the name referring to like a house of goats, literally, or is it like Tom Brady's house, the house, you know, house of greatest of all time?
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. But she's doing well. She drew inside. I'm not sure that's the best post for a first timer, but she's trained well enough to make us think that, you know, she could be effective first time. You know, looks like a decent race on paper. We'll see how it goes.
All right, let's get an update a couple weeks out on your Derby contenders. We talked to Nancy Holthus a little bit earlier, and we were talking about the Arkansas Derby and Cyberknife, and I've interviewed Al Gold before, and it was fun to see him get a grade one victory, certainly. And we'll watch the stretch run to the Arkansas Derby here with Cyberknife, the number eight, getting it done. I liked him a couple of weeks ago in the Arkansas Derby, and I liked him because I liked the move you made coming out of the LeCompte. You followed that up with, and I'll let you tell me if I was right, it looked like just the follow-up to the LeCompte was a nice confidence builder and mission accomplished. He comes back off of that win in the allowance event and then wins the Arkansas Derby. So talk a little bit about that race, the prior race down at the fairgrounds, and then the Arkansas Derby for Cyberknife.
Well, like you said, I think he, you know, the talent's there. I think he's a top horse. We've liked him for a long time, or a while now. And, you know, I think that made the most sense out of the LeCompte was to back him up and get him some confidence. And he's a horse that, you know, just with the way he's been a little bit erratic early on in his career, you know, just being a young horse, a green horse, that the more he would do it, the better he would get. And I think that's what we're seeing. I think he's improved a tremendous amount in his last two starts. Thought his allowance race was very, very good. And, you know, we had turned our attention toward Arkansas. We obviously had the Louisiana Derby, the Arkansas Derby, and the Bluegrass to pick from, and I felt like he was doing well enough. I didn't really want to chase Epicenter around there in the Louisiana Derby or run against him with Cyberknife, and thought, you know, this horse is training like a grade one horse. We may as well take a swing in a grade one race as opposed to a grade two, and it worked out really well. I thought his race in the Arkansas Derby was really, really good. I thought he made, you know, a middle move to get in position, and then he was able to kind of relax and do what Florent asked him to do and regroup going into the turn. And after that, he, you know, really kicked on down the lane. So, you know, it was a big effort. And, you know, I think he's – I know mentally he seems to be getting better all the time. He's really – obviously was at Churchill last fall, but he really seemed to take shape mentally and physically here at Churchill once he's arrived. He had a fantastic workout last week. And he'll have another one this weekend, and just really excited about where he is mentally and physically right now.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the work. I saw he had one on the 16th, so I'm guessing, what, one maybe tomorrow? And would that be kind of the big work leading into the Derby?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're asking him to, you know, work a good solid 5/8, probably three quarters tomorrow, Saturday morning. And, you know, he'll have another good one the week before. We pretty much let them kind of, you know, cruise around there. As long as they're wanting to do it, we'll let them do it. But okay. He's in a good place right now mentally and physically. And I think this horse, I mean, he's, you know, there's 19 Derby horses and one Derby winner. I really do believe he could be the Derby winner. I mean, he's a good colt. He really is.
Yeah, it's, again, and you kind of indicated, the last two seems to have him moving really in the right direction. He's going to be fun, I think, on Derby Day. Tawnyport, let's take a look at the Lexington from last week. Tawnyport's going to be the number 9 horse here. Looked pretty good in a big field of 11. Tawnyport was coming out of a second-place finish in the Jeff Ruby Stakes stake on the synthetic at Turfway. So moved back over to the dirt and got it done. I would think, you know, coming off the synthetic and 3 synthetic starts in 5 career starts, I would think this dirt victory would give you a little bit of confidence. So you're moving into the Derby now with a horse coming off of a nice win and a dirt win as well. Talk a little bit about Tawnyport and what the game plan is for him going forward as far as works coming out of a race this recently.
Yeah, he'll just have one work next weekend. Right now is what we're planning on. I thought his run in the Lexington was good. Maybe not the fastest run race, but he did give up a good bit of ground around both turns and was able to finish up well. Yeah, I think he'll handle the 1.25 miles. I really do. He's obviously about Pioneer of the Nile, which American Pharoah gets at the 1.25 miles. But, you know, the distance really isn't an issue. I do think he's going to have to, you know, and get a little faster. And I think, you know, listen, I think he's the type of horse he's going to have to get a really good trip. And if he does, he could be a factor. I mean, he's going to come running. He's honest. He's always run well. And he came out of the Risen Star, I thought was one of probably one of the better preps run this year, or this season, I should say. And Florent rode him that day and came back and had a lot of positive things to say about him. And, you know, after that, we thought, you know, to get him in the Derby would probably make the most sense to get him back on the synthetic at Turfway, where he had started out with the first 2 runs of his life. And, you know, it worked out because basically he was in the Derby. But then we thought, you know, the Lexington's a very nice race, great purse, graded race. and thought, you know, it's back in 2 weeks. As long as you come out in good shape, we thought we'd take a swing, and we did, and it worked out.
And again, on the dirt and a win, so you're going into the Derby in the right fashion with that one. And finally, let's also talk about Zozos. And you kind of alluded to it when you talked about the Risen Star. I think a lot of handicappers this year are looking at that Fairgrounds three-year-old trail as being very productive, and that includes the Louisiana Derby. We're going to take a look at that. Number six, Epicenter, will be the winner, but number two, Zozos, runs second. Lightly raced, this was only the third career start, the first non-victory, the first two starts, nice wins for Zozos, runs second in this Louisiana Derby. And again, one of the races that I think people are looking at as being very productive along the Derby trail this year. What was your takeaway from this race? What are you thinking in a couple of weeks for Zozos?
Well, big run from him in the Louisiana Derby. I thought he stayed on well, you know, carved out the pace, and you know, was obviously beaten by a very, very good horse. And, you know, we've got 6 weeks to kind of close that gap, or try to close that gap, I should say. I feel like he's doing really well. He had a fantastic work this morning. He worked three quarters and won 12-2 with a good gallop out. And he's doing as well as he can do. We've got a couple weeks left in regards to preparation. But right now, I mean, he seems to be, you know, moving forward each and every week. And we just really like what I've seen from him since the Louisiana Derby. His first work back out of the Louisiana Derby was by himself here at Churchill, and it was a great move. He followed that up last week with another good one, and the breeze this week was fantastic. So, you know, look, he's a horse that should be able to break, get in a nice position close to the lead, and, you know, we'll see how it goes. I'm excited about this horse. I think he's got a tremendous amount of upside. I think his numbers fit. And I think, you know, the 6 weeks between races are probably doing him some good. And, you know, I think if he gets a good trip, he's definitely going to be a factor.
Certainly, he showed plenty of talent in the first three. And as I'm looking at the PPs, Flojo, Florentiero has ridden all three of these. So do you have jockeys set now for these, or is that still a work in progress over the next couple of weeks?
It's a work in progress, and hopefully we can probably start getting some things finalized next week. But we thought we'd get through you know, our big works this weekend, we just have the two colts working, but, you know, evaluate our horses out of their works and you know, see you know, who's available and make a decision in the near future.
Very good. And just before we let you go, I have two more that I wanted to touch on and get an update. The three-year-old filly Turner Loose, speaking of working today, I noted on Equibase, she had worked this morning. We'll take a look at the stretch run to the Rachel Alexander. Turner Loose is going to be the number seven horse here, subsequently finished fourth in the Fairground Oaks. But I'm assuming she's headed to the Kentucky Oaks, Turner Loose?
Yeah, she's qualified, and as long as she's doing well, we're going to take a swing. Yeah, but she's doing well, and you know, we need to see her Rachel race, not her not her Fairgrounds Oaks race. But you know, we'll see. Her race wasn't bad, but we just obviously ran her around there, kind of chasing a really good filly, a champion, in fact. And you know, I think maybe if we can get her to settle a little bit and finish, it might help the result out.
Certainly off of that Rachel we looked at, yeah, she is a contender coming up. And finally, just wanted a little update on She Dares the Devil. I noted on Equibase that she worked today as well. And I'm guessing, you know, looking at her PPs, I'm guessing a similar scenario to last year. Last year, she came out of the Azari and went in the La Troyenne at Churchill. And we have a replay of that La Troyenne from last year where She Dares the Devil, a number two horse, wins. Comes out of the Azari this year. As I say, she worked today. I'm assuming the La Troyenne will be on the game plan for She Dares the Devil.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the game plan. And she had a big move this morning. Super happy with how she's doing and training and looking forward to get. She loves Churchill. She always performs well. I don't think she's ever lost here. But, yeah, she started her career here, and she's just been very consistent. Obviously, you know, the biggest Oaks is – the Kentucky Oaks is her biggest win to date, and you know, looking forward to getting her back here running at Churchill, and hopefully, you know, this will you know, maybe take her back to New York or California or somehow get her back to the Breeders' Cup this fall. Looking forward to having a big campaign with her.
Oh, we got the personal ensign right up here at Saratoga. If you want to stop by.
Yeah, that's definitely something we'll look at with
her. I'm a homer. I have to toss those out there. Brad, as always, we appreciate the visit. No, it's a busy time, so we appreciate your taking time, but we did want to check in before the Derby and get a little Derby update. So wish you a lot of good luck on Saturday afternoon, a couple weeks down the road in the Derby as well, and we'll see you up in Saratoga.
Absolutely, can't wait. Talk to you soon, Seth. Thanks.
Sounds good. Brad Cox with some nice runners on Saturday and beyond. I'm Seth Merrill, and as Serious Horse Players, we know that information is critical when placing a bet. With live streaming of more than 30 tracks, race replays, free past performances, and daily picks from professional handicappers, no one gives you more up-to-the-minute information than Capital OTB. Combine that with the best player awards in New York State, and you have everything a serious horse player needs to be successful. Win more with Capital OTB. Winning starts here.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
The Clubhouse Racebook is the Capital Region's new home for racing and sports. 25,000 square feet of Vegas-style action with live wagering on the best horse racing from around the world. 260 flat-screen televisions and state-of-the-art wagering terminals. So don't miss out. The fun is only minutes away at 711 Central Avenue, Albany, just off exit 5 of I-90. And don't forget, if you can't make it to the clubhouse, you can always wager online 24/7 at CapitalOTB.com.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Thanks again to Brad Cox and Nancy Holthus for taking time to join the show and preview some of today's action and beyond. And again, Cyberknife had a nice workout this morning. And if you look on Twitter, you can see the workout on Twitter. It looks good. Started a couple lengths behind his workmate, wound up a couple lengths in front, was getting a thumbs up from folks who viewed it, including Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum. Always trust Mike's opinion on the workout. So Cyberknife for Brad Cox. Looking pretty good coming out of the Arkansas Derby win and prepping for the Kentucky Derby. More Derby conversation, obviously, coming up in the next couple of weeks as we're in that period where folks are going to start looking. PPs are available for the contenders, and you can start watching the workouts and looking through the PPs and making decisions. Don't get locked in, certainly until post positions are drawn, because post positions in the Derby, probably more than any other race, those post positions can make a big difference. So don't get locked in or married necessarily, but you can start to parse things out a little bit, watch some of the prep race replays, and watch those workouts and whatnot. But again, thanks to Brad Cox for updating us on his three Derby contenders. Going to wrap it up for Racing Across America for this Saturday morning. Do want to remind you that today there's a Winabet contest online, so check that out, capitalotb.com, for more information there. And again, keep up with all the promos and events by going to the website and clicking on the promotions link and taking a look at the monthly calendar with promotions and events that can lead you to some fun or maybe some extra dough as well, courtesy of Capital OTB. This afternoon, I'm going to take a look at Aqueduct Keeneland and obviously that really nice card with the Apple Blossom at Oaklawn, but we have much more here this afternoon as well. I'll kick things off in probably about an hour and a half or so for OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. Looking forward to it. It's been, you know, with Keeneland in the mix over the past couple of weeks, it's been kind of fun. And Oaklawn with their extended meet, always like the Oaklawn racing. So a couple of stakes this afternoon at Aqueduct as well, and they're back on the grass in New York, so that's a lot of fun. Looking forward to it on a Saturday afternoon. Hopefully you are too. We appreciate you tuning in this morning. Hopefully over the course of the last couple hours, we've given you some ideas and information for this afternoon and beyond, but this afternoon is what is in our sights in the immediate future, so we're looking forward to that. Appreciate your tuning in. I'm Seth Merrill. I will be back in, as I say, about an hour and a half or so with an OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.